All right, we're in 1 Peter chapter 1. And tonight we're pretty much going to just finish chapter 1. And we'll pick up on chapter 2 next week. That's why I knew it was going to be a little bit shorter tonight. So you should say, well, praise God, yeah. Get to go home early.
Hallelujah.
Right. So we're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 1, and we're going to be at verse 13. That's where we're going to start, verse 13. If you have something different, I hope the Lord helps you to know where we're at, okay? Because that's where we're at. And we're talking about serving the Lord, being close to the Lord, trusting the Lord. All these things are that way. You didn't get one done?
Not yet.
Okay. I don't know that there's any back there. Do we have any left? Okay. Anybody willing to share one? If you're sitting with a couple, there you go. Okay, we got it. So verse 13, here we go. This is Peter, the Holy Spirit, talking through Peter and telling them, therefore gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts, as in your ignorance, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy.
Amen.
Therefore. Okay. So, we start out with the word, therefore. Therefore, for these reasons. That's what that means. For these reasons. I gave you some reasons. Therefore, or it could be saying, because of this truth. You've now received some truth. Use that truth. Because of that truth, now proceed forward, right? That's what it's talking about. So he's talking about what reasons, what truths were spoken that would guide us forward. That's what we're looking for. Because of the reasons and the truth that we learned last week in the verses we talked about last week. So we need to go back and remember some of that, right? So we learned that last week from the Holy Spirit. We should gird up our loins. That's what it says. Gird up your loins. Get ready to move forward in the battle. That's what they would do in the old days when they didn't wear pants. They had on like a skirt almost. Or in some places they wore kilts. And if they were baggy, they would bind those up so they wouldn't get tangled up in them while they were going into battle. And it would give them the freedom to move quickly, without haste. So this is speaking to us also. Don't delay. Do this now. Start practicing these things. Live this way. You want to please the Lord? You want to please the Lord? Live this way according to the Holy Spirit, according to what He's going to tell you, right? So get ready to move into the battle. And here's some things we learned. First, we learned that the Lord has saved us. We knew that, didn't we?
Yep.
But the Lord is also keeping us until the end of our faith. Well, when does that happen? When we're looking at the Lord. See, right now we have hope. But when you're looking at the reality, hope is gone. Your hope has reached its climax. And now you're there and you see it just as it actually is. So, he's saying, the Lord is keeping us until the end of our faith, which is the saving of our souls. Right? The saving of your soul. Now, you have faith in the Lord right now that He's saving your soul. You're trusting Him that He has saved your soul. He's done the work of redemption, right? He has bought you back. You belong to Him now. He has saved your soul. So when are you going to experience the reality of that? Well, either you're going to pass out of this world and go on to glory, and you'll realize it then. Or you'll be here when He comes back for the rapture. And you'll go then, and you'll experience it then. Right? And then there are some saints that aren't saints yet. They're going to be saints after the rapture. They're going to experience the tribulation, and they're going to have to give their life. Most of them are going to give their life to become a saint. Some won't, but most of them probably will. Because they're going to be asked to do things that are against the Lord, against the Holy Spirit. They don't match up. And because they've heard something, they've seen something, because you've been out in the world saying things and doing things and showing things, they're going to know that they have a problem. And they're going to have to do something about it. They're going to have to make a decision. So the Lord, though, for us is keeping us until the end of our faith, which is the saving of our souls. And then He has made us ready for His kingdom. Now, as we're sitting here right now, like we are, we're not really ready for His kingdom. Spiritually, we're ready. Physically, we're not ready. Okay? We won't need these shells when we go into the kingdom, right? So He has made us ready. Right now, we are ready for Him to come back. It doesn't matter if the world's ready. It doesn't matter even if all things have been fulfilled at this point. But we are ready because we've been redeemed. Because we've trusted in the Lord. So we're ready. We could go any moment. And then because He's talking this, for this is another reason, that you have faith. You have the faith of Christ working in you. You have the faith of Christ working in you. A lot of times we do things and we think, well, I can't believe I did that. I didn't know I had that in me. You didn't. You didn't have it in you. You had the faith of Christ in you and the Holy Spirit working in you. And they are the ones that got you to that point where you did what you needed to do to be pleasing to Him. That's how we do it. So the more cooperative, the more humble you are to the Holy Spirit, the more quickly those things will happen. The more peace you'll have. The more contentment you'll have, right? Amen. You won't be free of tribulation. That's not what I'm saying. As long as we're in this world, we're going to have tribulation. But as long as we're in Him and we yield to Him, we'll have the peace of God that passes understanding. You see, it's all keyed on obedience. On obedience. Doing His will. That's why I've been saying a lot lately about we need to know the will of the Lord. And He shares it freely. Look, He wrote a whole book telling you what it is. All you have to do is open it up, right? And then you'll have it. So have faith, the faith of Christ working in you. How do you do it? How do you have the faith of Christ working in you? By obeying the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Well, how do you know? How do you know if you're obeying the Holy Spirit or not? Because you'll probably have to yield. You'll probably want to do something or you'll want to have something. And the Holy Spirit will say, you know, that's really not right for you. You probably should let that pass. And there's something better that you could use better. I could help you to use it better for God's glory. Because that's why we're here. It's for His glory. So you'll probably need to yield a few things along the way. You'll probably have to say no to some stuff that you really wanted. And it's a good thing to do that, because if you don't say no and you barge right in there and take it anyway, then sin comes in, see? Then you have to deal with that. So you can avoid that by just being obedient. Have faith in the working of Christ in you through the Holy Spirit. And then something else we learned was our love for Christ. Our love for Christ. How do you know you have love for Christ? You yield to the Holy Spirit and do the things He asks you to do for Christ. Because you're doing things for His glory. Because if you're not doing it for His glory, you're in the weeds already, okay? So do it for His glory. You'll know you're loving Christ when you do it. You follow the Holy Spirit, and you know what He's going to do? He's going to motivate you to do something for the Lord. He's going to ask you to do something for the Lord. Might be something simple. You might see somebody stop somewhere that needs some help, and you might be able to help them. Now, I wouldn't get out there and be by yourself doing that, because these times are perilous times. So you need to keep that in mind. But if you're able to help, you have the ability, you have the protection to do it, you might choose to do that and help. Or you might choose to pass by and go on. Have a good reason. Have a good reason to pass by. If you have everything you need to help and you have the safety to do it, then you probably ought to do it. Because that will please the Lord. And you might even get in a few words about Him, right? You can do that too. So our love for Christ and the leading of the Holy Spirit motivate us to do those things that He prompts us to do. Without that, we wouldn't do it. We would just go on our own selfish way. Because that's the way we are. That's humanity, right? Nothing personal against you. We're all that way. Because we all were affected by the fall. You get that, right? We were oh so good. Because God even said so. I made it all. It was good. They were good. But then sin came in. So now we have to deal with that. Jesus Christ came to save all humanity. Jesus Christ came to save all humanity. How do we know that? Because He says so. Call on the name of the Lord and what will happen? You will be saved. You will be saved. That's what His Word says. And He says this. He goes a little further. He says, anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Do you hear any limitations in there? Do you hear anything about race? Do you hear anything about their prior religious beliefs? Do you hear anything about what country they came from? You hear anything about what culture they came from? Nothing. Anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. These are some things you have to believe to understand God's Word. Otherwise, you're going to have some doubt. You're going to have some confusion. So there's some things you need to just nail them down, right? God is using the redeemed of the Lord. That's you. You're the redeemed of the Lord. God is using you, if you'll let Him. Yeah. He wants to use you. He wants you to let Him use you. What is He using you for? He's using you to proclaim the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He will use you if you will let Him. Sometimes you get to speak. Sometimes you just get to do something. Sometimes you just need to be somewhere. Whatever He wants, that's what you should do. Is it okay to ask Him, Lord, are you sure you want me to do this? Yes, it's okay. You can ask Him. It's not a leap of faith. Nothing about Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit, none of that's a leap of faith. He gives you reassurance. He gives you the facts. He's given you all that you need to know so that you can do things with confidence. That's what He wants you to do. He wants you to be bold with confidence that He is there. The Holy Spirit is there. Can God do anything? then we ought to be doing whatever He calls us to do. And you can check it out if you want to. You can ask Him. You can be sure. He won't zap you because of that. Who was it that put out the fleece? Gideon put that fleece out. Not just once. He didn't do it once. Okay, God, I got it. No. He said, oh, I just want to be sure. Let's do it in reverse order this time. So you can ask, you can be sure. He loves you for that. So these are the things we want to be reminded of. The Lord has saved us. He's keeping us. He's made us ready for His kingdom. We have the faith of Christ working in us through the obedience of the Holy Spirit. Our love for Christ and the leading of the Holy Spirit motivates us for service. Jesus came to save everybody who will call on His name. We can promote that to others, to anybody. We don't have to wonder about, does Jesus really want this person to get saved? Yes. No doubt, God is using us to proclaim the good news. Be sure of all those things. Because of those facts of truth, we can soberly tune our brains to following Christ and serving Him because of the hope we have in here for Him. But we have that. We have the Holy Spirit in there promoting that, right? I like verse 14 the way it says, as obedient children. As obedient children. Why do children obey their parents? Because they love them. They love them until they hear no. Then it gets a little dicey, all right? But because of the facts of truth, we can soberly tune our brains in to following Christ and serving Him because we have the hope. Our receiving Christ as Savior made these facts truth. We don't have to doubt them. They're truth. And now we are able to serve Christ because of the truth that we hold in us. And the power we hold in us by the power of the Holy Spirit. We have been enabled. He's able. You're able. Don't hold back. Serve Him. Don't hold back. You want the blessing of the Lord, right? And you know the blessing I'm talking about is that wonderful feeling you have with communing with the Holy Spirit after you've served Him and served Him and done things, and that's what He wanted you to do. You've done the will of God. Doesn't have to go out and save the world. It could be something simple, but you were obedient. That's what God is looking for. I want obedience when I ask you to do something. I want you to do it. And you can ask me. Make sure, that's fine. We have His Son, Jesus Christ. That's what gird up your loins really means. In other words, the words of Jesus. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Yeah, that's in Matthew. You want to gird up your loins? Then you put all your love, all your hope, everything into the Lord. Everything you are. That's what it's really saying. Give me everything you are. And let's go. And conquer the world. You'll conquer somebody's world because when you get somebody saved, their world changes. They have victory. You want to be a part of that? You've got to yield to the Holy Spirit. You've got to obey the will of the Lord. Don't hold back. Love the Lord with all your heart. And then in verse 14 it says, as obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust as in your ignorance. You know, the way you used to live before you got saved. That's what that's talking about. Even though you had knowledge of Christ, you didn't live that way. You weren't saved and you couldn't because you didn't have the Holy Spirit. In other words, be like little children. Be obedient. Follow the one you love and that you know loves you. Now, for little children, who is that? That's your parents. You love them. You obeyed them because you love them. That's what it's talking about here. Obey the Lord because you love Him. And you have good reason to love Him. Amen?
Amen.
So be obedient. Follow Jesus and forsake everything else. Now, I'm not saying give up your job. I'm not saying leave your family. I'm saying leave all those other ideas and all those other things that are holding you back. Beliefs. Bondage. Just like Frank's nephew. He's being held back. He can't serve the Lord. He's in bondage. He's got to break that bondage. How's he going to do that? He's got to trust the Lord with everything he is. He cannot trust himself. Period. I can't even walk by a liquor store because I'm going to be wanting to go in there. And on some days, I'll go because I can't help myself. You got to be aware of that. You got to know that. You got to call on the Lord and take a different route. If that's what you got to do. Do what you got to do until the Lord strengthens you to that point that you can withstand. And then what happens when you get to that point when you can withstand all that stuff? You get to help somebody else. You get to share your testimony. I went through that. I've been there. I've been where you've been. I'm out of it now. Well, you're never really out of it. But you can function now as a regular person because you have enough courage and the will of God to overcome for a day. Yeah. But you never ever say, I got this now. I've been clean for a while. I got this now. No, you don't. Ask somebody that's been through it. They'll tell you. Forsake all those other things. Verse 15 and 16 says, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Can you ever imagine going to the Lord and he's not holy? He just says, don't worry about it. Do whatever you want. That's what I do. No, you'll never hear that. Because he is bound by who he is. You think we have, you know, rules and regulations and stuff like that. He's bound by who he is. He cannot leave that personality. He cannot leave those attributes. Because the moment he does, then he's not who he says he is. But we are assured he will always be who he says he is. I am the Lord your God. I do not change. We have His assurance. We have His word on it. Our goal now in life. You want to know what you're supposed to be doing in life? You're supposed to be being holy like Christ. That's your assignment now. Be holy. And you know you can't do that on your own. You know you have to trust the Lord moment by moment. I'm not talking day by day. I'm talking moment by moment. Because it only takes a thought in a way you're going. You've got to hang on. Hang on to the Lord. If you want to be like Him, you got to pray to the Holy Spirit. You got to claim the Holy Spirit and have Him working in you all the time. Jesus is holy. He is not like anyone or anything else. He sets himself apart to holiness. He sets himself apart. Does that give you a clue on what our mission is? We must deny ourselves and set ourselves apart to holiness. I like to drink beer. I like a good cold beer on a hot day. But I can't go out somewhere and have a good cold beer on a hot day, because somebody sees me drinking that beer, and if they don't come over and say, "Hi, Pastor Dan, how are you doing? I see you're having a nice cold beer." "Yeah, I've been working out of the yard hard. Thought I'd take a break." "Yeah, but you're the pastor of a church." It's not that I'm doing something wrong, but it's the example I'm setting. There's nothing wrong with having a cold beer. Jesus didn't say don't drink. He said don't get drunk. But if my drinking that beer offends somebody, then I can't do it, because I'm leading them astray. That's not what the Lord wants. Be holy, because He's holy. He doesn't offend people, because that's what He wants. Unless it's for their good. I'll have to give Him that much, right? He is holy because He is obedient to the Father. He obeys everything the Father says. He obeyed everything the Father told Him to do. "I came not to do my will, but the will of the Father." How many times did He say that? Amen. Denied Himself. Deny yourself. There's no excuses. There's no gray area. You want to be blessed and happy in Jesus? Deny yourself those things that are not according to His holiness. That's what we're talking about. Your goal is to be like Jesus. Be obedient. Holiness is obedience to God. You must be obedient. Be like no one else and nothing else. Be obedient to God. In everything in your life, be holy. Be obedient to God. Be like Jesus. Be obedient to God. That's what Jesus is. He's obedient to the Father. He's still obedient to the Father. He's sitting at the right hand of the throne of God. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. What's He doing there? Whatever the Father wants. Mainly, it's interceding for you and me. But that's what He's doing, because that's what the Father wants Him to do. Are you getting this? There's no sliding through here, you know, and getting away from it. Be holy, for I am holy. Be like no one else. Be like Jesus. Be obedient. Why? Why should we do it?
Because God commands.
God commands it. God says, it's like saying, "This is what I want. You want to know what God wants? This is what I want. I want you to be obedient. I want you to be like my son, be obedient." That's what He's saying. We don't like that. We like to do our own things every now and then, right? Be holy, for I am holy. That's what you're supposed to do. Verse 17, "And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like gold and silver." Oh, I always thought that was good stuff. No, those are corruptible. "From your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ." That's what you were redeemed with. The blood of God redeemed you. "As of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you." He came for you. He came for me. He came for every one of us. "Who through Him believe in God." You believe because of Him. "Who raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God." Nothing else. You can't put faith and hope in anything else. Nothing is that trustworthy. Nothing has that power except God. Starts out, and if you call on the Father, it's like saying, and if you get saved, if you manage to get saved, if you are born again, the if is there because some won't. Some won't call on the Lord. Some won't trust in His shed blood. Some won't do it. Some won't get saved. Not because it's God's will. We just talked about that, didn't we? God wants everyone to get saved. It's God's will that everyone get saved. God said, if it were up to me, I would that everyone would get saved. But the sad fact is they won't, because they won't choose God. Not because it's His will, but because it's their will. It's their choice. God does not force you to choose Him. Oh, He wants you to. He's done everything, including the death of His Son, a brutal death, and then raised Him from the dead. Amen. Do you know Jesus Himself said, even though someone were raised from the dead, some people won't believe it. He knew. He knew. Your work as a believer is to conduct yourself while alive on earth in a manner to bring glory to God. That's our work. Bring glory to God. That's why we were created. Bring glory to God. How do we do that? Be holy. I'm holy. Be holy like me. Oh, how am I holy? How do I get accomplish that? Be obedient. Yes. Betos. Believe, trust, obey, and serve. That's how you accomplish it. And really, none of that is done by you. God brings you belief through the Holy Spirit and trust as well. You obey because you trust in Him and you know you can trust Him, and you do things because He asked you to do it. You serve Him because of that. You're obedient to His will. This is what God wants me to do. This is what I'm going to do. And then if He says serve, you go serve. Because if you don't, you're going to be miserable. I'll tell you that right now. Because you'll know. Conduct yourself while alive on earth in a manner to bring glory to God. That means to live in a way that promotes His gospel. You are to go out there and promote the gospel of Christ. Whether you speak it, whether you live it, whatever you do. That's your job. You want to know what to do for God? Spread the gospel. Live that way. Be holy, be obedient, imitate Jesus out of your love and respect for your salvation through Christ. Amen. Verse 18 and 19, because you were not redeemed by imitation, powerless idols, and rules given by humanity. Things that others said, your forefathers, they said, oh, this is the way. No, it's not the way. You've got to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the way. They gave their rules, but it's by the precious blood of Christ that you serve. The sinless Son of God is who brings you along and gives you the power, gives you the will, gives you the obedience. It's Him working through you. Christ is the only payment for sin acceptable to God. There is no other way. And I don't care who argues with you about it. Just stand your ground. If you have to turn and walk away, okay, so be it. You made your point. God's demand for the payment of sin can only be paid by God's blood. That's the only payment. God's own blood. He brought that to us through His Son, Jesus Christ. You ever think of it that way? Christ was the container. Yeah. That's how God got His blood into the world. Verse 20 and 21, all this, the plan of redemption for humanity, was done prior to creation and made known now for those who have saving faith by Christ, saving faith in and by Christ, His faith, the faith that God raised Christ from the dead.
Amen.
That's where we know. That's how we know it's true. If it hadn't have been true, He wouldn't have done that. But He raised Him from the dead to prove it's true. We have the fact of that. Well, how do you know? How do you know He was raised from the dead? Well, over 500 people saw Him after He was raised. How many witnesses do you have to have? Only two, according to Judaism. They had over 500. And not only that, they sat down and ate dinner and lunch with Him. Yeah. That's right. You would not be sealed. You wouldn't even be given the Holy Spirit. You wouldn't have that opportunity. So Christ has been glorified by the Father and seated at the right hand of God on God's throne in heaven.
Amen.
Who gets that? Only the obedient Son of God. The Father did this for the sake of your faith and your hope brought by God in order that you would gain eternal life with God as He originally envisioned it. He wants you to be like it would have been in the garden. That's what He's looking for. That's where we're going. That's how He envisioned it. Verse 22 through 25. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. You know what the Word of God is? Yes, but it's also the Holy Spirit. Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and its flower falls away. What does that mean? We all pass away. That's our end. We all pass away. Unless we have Jesus Christ as our Savior.
Amen.
Then we don't pass away. We live on with Him. Because the Word of the Lord endures forever. That's where that sealing comes from, Curtis. We all know that there's only one way to purify a person. There's only one way you can purify their soul, and that is by obeying the gospel of Christ. By the enlightenment of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We don't just do that on our own. The Holy Spirit is working on us, working on us, working on us, drawing us, drawing us, drawing us, and finally we get it.
Yeah.
And it's not a V8. Either one, right. We get it through obeying through the Holy Spirit. This new birth in Christ should result in greater obedience to the Holy Spirit. You've been trying before. You wanted to do it. You just couldn't seem to get it done. But once you have the Holy Spirit, you should be able to do it. Sincere love for the saints. Yes. Getting along with everybody, encouraging one another, having a great time in fellowship with one another. Because the Holy Spirit's here with all of us. God's church, a yearning in the believer to live a holy life. Not because we have to, but because we want to. For the Savior who gave Himself showed God's great love for us. That's why we do it. Verse 23, would you consider the birth of Jesus Christ a supernatural event?
Yeah.
Of course you would. Absolutely. It should follow that a believer's new birth should also be considered supernatural. Sid Ross got nothing on us. We're all supernatural. He's a TV personality. Christian TV, in case you don't know. We're all supernatural because God is supernatural. Christ is supernatural. The Holy Spirit is supernatural. We should live in that supernatural state of God called holiness. That's what it's called. This new birth has been brought through the unfailing and permanent Word of God. It's permanent. The Spirit of God uses the Word of God to produce life. Didn't God speak life into existence? Of course He did. Much like the Word of God produced the life of Jesus within His mother Mary. He produces the life of Christ in believers. Albeit one is a physical birth and the other spiritual. We're not physically born into Jesus. We're spiritually born into Jesus. And we receive the Holy Spirit as a result of that. But in both, think of this, a new heart was created in both those births. You got a new heart. Humanity and its offspring are temporary. Sorry, folks, we're not eternal in the good sense of the word. We are eternal. God does not obliterate things. Human life, I'll say. They age and pass away along with their glory, just like those, the grass and its flower. The things humanity creates are not eternal. They're not eternal. However, God and His Word, His incorruptible seed, are eternal. That is the seed of which you have been reborn. Incorruptible. That means you can never be corrupted. God's Word retains all the attributes of the Godhead eternally. And if you're in Christ, you'll get a great number of those attributes. Eternally. Now I'm just going to say this, that all humans that are born, they really are eternal. God does not obliterate and destroy. You'll either be in eternity with Christ or you'll be in eternity without Christ. But you will be in eternity. And He gives you the choice. He doesn't make you take the choice that He wants you to take. He wants you to be with Him. He doesn't make you do that. He leaves that door open to you. So that's why we should be out there promoting the gospel. Because there are people who are making the wrong choice. And what's worse yet is they get no direction. They're getting no direction. They're getting no encouragement to make the right choice. So we become very important. That's why we should go out and speak. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's pray. Father, thank You for guiding us through Your Word, Lord, and helping us to understand the desperate need for people out there. We have found that need. Our need has been met. And we are now allowing the Holy Spirit to work on us to conform to Your image. But Lord, there are many, many who do not know us. And we do not know, Lord, we do not know who are going to deny You. Help us to speak Your name. Help us to give Your grace, Your knowledge, Your love, so that some of these people will see You, feel Your Holy Spirit working in them, and make a positive decision for You, Lord. Help us to do that. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.